It's a WRAL weather alert day. We have a heat advisory that just started just moments ago and a level 1 and 2 risk for parts of our viewing area for severe storms. I'll walk you through all of it.
Plus, we're following breaking news out of Person County, where a father is in custody. Investigators believe he killed a driver who may have killed his son.
Also, a toddler reunited with her family hours after she was found wandering the streets before dawn. What we're learning about the investigation.
Today is a WRAL weather alert day, and you're looking live right now at the view from our WRAL live cam network. North Hills, as part of our viewing area, is under a level 2 risk for severe storms this afternoon. And good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We also have a heat advisory that just went into effect, as Elizabeth just mentioned. She's in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timing of severe storms and our potential for that dangerous heat today, Elizabeth.
So early this morning, most of the viewing area was under a level 1 risk. But right at 9 o'clock, the Storm Prediction Center added our northeastern counties, and that does include half of Wake County. Definitely parts of Raleigh, Wilson County, northward up the I-95 corridor, and back here across Granville County as well. So damaging wind would be our biggest threat today. Isolated is what we're likely to see in terms of coverage today. Hail is possible and some heavy rain. We have a lot of moisture in the atmosphere. Almost the same coverage for tomorrow. You can see most of us are in a level 1, but from Raleigh through Johnston County, Wake County, Johnston County, north and east, we have a level 2 risk for tomorrow. So tomorrow is also going to be a WRAL weather alert day. We have the potential for isolated wind damage and definitely some heavy rain that could possibly cause some flooding. Let's take a look at today. We're going to kick things off right here at noon. Notice at 5 o'clock, we have a few isolated cells that begin to pick up. This version of Futurecast is showing a little less rain than what we were seeing earlier this morning. So definitely trending in the right direction, but still a few of these cells could produce some heavy rain and possibly some wind damage. At 3 a.m., we may still see that happening, but we'll get a break in the morning, at least for a little while, with partly cloudy skies. There's noon tomorrow, and then we see more coverage of storms tomorrow, starting around 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Look at some of these are going to be on the larger side with a lot of heavy rain. There may be some isolated flooding that happens tomorrow, and that also may still be going at about 10 or 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Heat advisory starting now all the way through 8 p.m. It'll feel like 105 to 110. It already feels very hot out there. It's 104 already here at noon. That's the heat index. It's 94 degrees. It feels like 111 in Goldsboro now, 108 in Clinton, 109, 108 in Southern Pines, and we still haven't hit the hottest part of the day. So an extremely hot day. High temperatures will be in the upper 90s, but we have so much moisture in the atmosphere that it does feel dangerously hot. We're going to talk more about how long this pattern sticks around coming up.
And we have a list of local cooling stations on our website. Remember, you can track severe weather anytime with the WRAL weather app. Be sure you have the app installed on your phone. Turn on the alerts to get notified about severe weather in your area. The WRAL weather app is available for Apple and Android devices.
We're following breaking news out of Person County, where a father is charged with killing a driver who allegedly struck and killed his son with a vehicle. WRAL's Monica Casey is live on Dink Ashley Road, where this all unfolded. Monica, how did this begin?
Well, the Person County Sheriff tells me three people, including a father and a son, were walking along this road at 6:30 this morning after their car ran out of gas. You can see, taking a live look at Sky 5 right now, this is a two-lane road with a very small shoulder right next to a pond and a field. 911 operators got a call from a driver who said he had hit a person who was walking in the road. While that driver was on the phone, the father of the son who was hit allegedly pulled out a handgun and shot that driver. The sheriff tells me the father and the other person with him then got in the driver's vehicle and drove away. The driver and the son were both left here on Dink Ashley Road and died. Now you can see to the side over here, this pond and this field here have been being searched by Person County Sheriff's Office. We've seen special investigators here on scene as well. The sheriff tells me the father in this situation is in custody at this time. They have not yet released his name as of right now. Michelle?
Just a tragic story. Monica Casey live in Person County. Thanks, Monica. And a man is charged with trying to rape and strangle a woman that he kidnapped, and he'll head to court this afternoon. Christopher Joyner faces numerous charges, including forcible rape. Police say he kidnapped the woman near Crabtree Valley Mall, and this afternoon we received the 911 call. We're not airing the call to protect the woman's identity, but this is a portion of the conversation. The operator says, "Tell me exactly what happened," and the person responds, "I was abducted, I was kidnapped at the Raleigh Mall, and he brought me out here. He said he was going to kill me and he tried to rape me." Police say the victim did not know her attacker.
The Coast Guard has found divers who were reported missing off the North Carolina coast. They went diving yesterday and never resurfaced. They were on a boat named Big Bill's when it happened, and the four men were spotted around 12:45 this morning by a strobe light about 46 miles southeast of Cape Fear. The Coast Guard brought them back to land safely, uninjured this morning. We now know the names of the three people killed when fire raced through their vacation home on the Outer Banks. They were all Maryland residents. Colleen Cohen and her husband, William Deeg, died in the fire, along with 13-year-old Sienna Farr. Three other people were injured, 16-year-old Sadie Farr, her mother, Laura Volk, and her mother's boyfriend, David Brewer. Sienna and Sadie were sisters. The cause of the fire is under investigation.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, updating the crisis in Maui as we take new video of just into our newsroom from the damage and the devastation there. Just about after 6 o'clock in the morning in Maui, search and rescue efforts will get ramped up again at daybreak. At this point, Hawaii emergency management officials say only 3% of the fire zone has been searched so far. And that's why they believe the death toll is expected to go up, because so much of the burn zone has yet to be searched. Now, only residents with West Maui addresses can be allowed back into that burn zone. You can see some residents are trying to get back in. Another sticking point here that's emerging is the struggle to keep the economy going and helping displaced residents. Hawaii officials continue to stress Maui is still open to tourists since the wildfires did not affect the eastern side of the island. But the trouble is, displaced residents who lost everything in this fire, they're relying on hotels, Airbnbs, and VRBO rentals to find a place to stay as a result of losing everything in this fire. Now, Hawaii's governor is expected to hold a news conference at 3:30 our time to give an update on the search and recovery efforts, as well as what's next for Maui.
All right, thanks, Ken. A 3-year-old girl who is found wandering alone in Fayetteville has been reunited with her family, and now police are trying to determine why it took hours to locate her parents. WRAL's Eric Miller has spent hours asking questions and joins us live in Fayetteville with what exactly you've learned, Eric.
Oh, Michelle, this right behind me, this is Pamela Drive. We're about a mile from Murchison Road, which is right down this way. And the thing is, this is where that 3-year-old girl was found wandering by herself early this morning along this major thoroughfare. You take a look at this photo right here. This is a photo that was snapped and shared by Fayetteville police. First responders got the call right around 4:50 this morning. This 3-year-old girl wandering by herself along the side of the road. Police got out here very quickly. They scooped her up and then started going door to door, canvassing the area, trying to find her family. That took about 2 hours, but thankfully they were able to get her back home safe and sound. Now, we've been pressing for more information here, trying to figure out how exactly this 3-year-old was able to get out in the middle of the night, start wandering along this road, whether there's an active investigation, and whether any charges could come out of this situation. Still, Michelle, we're working to answer those questions. We'll bring you any more details as soon as we get
there. Yeah, still a lot of unanswered questions there. Eric Miller, live in Fayetteville. Thanks, Eric.
State lawmakers are headed back to Raleigh this week after taking the past month off. On their agenda, veto overrides and changes to election law. Meantime, the school year is about to get underway, and education leaders are pushing for a budget deal. NC Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building with a look at the shortfall they're dealing with right now. Laura.
You know, GOP leaders here don't appear to be any closer to a budget deal than they were last week. The spending plan is already 6 weeks late, and Wake County school leaders are saying that's getting to be a real problem. The traditional school year starts in just 2 weeks, but Wake County schools still have hundreds of vacant positions to fill. School leaders say the budget delay is making that harder. School board members and the PTA president joined Democratic lawmakers here today to call on the Republican majority to pass a budget soon.
We do not know what teachers will be paid. We do not know what bus drivers will be paid. We do not know what other important key members of our school staff will be paid. And in today's labor market, people aren't going to wait around to see what they might be paid.
Relationships.
Now, that's Wake County School Board Vice Chairman Chris Haggerty. He says the lack of bus drivers especially is a major crisis right now because they're being paid less than they would if they were working in fast food. He says the legislature can and should pass that as soon as possible. We also spoke with Republican Senate Leader Phil Berger. He said right now they are making progress, but at this point they don't expect to have a budget passed until the middle of September. He also said he doesn't believe that the budget delay is responsible for the problems that school systems are having in hiring teachers and staff.
All right, Laura Leslie, live at the Legislative Building. Thanks for that update. North Carolina elections officials have chosen to recognize No Labels, a nonprofit social welfare group, as a political party. Approval allows No Labels to field candidates without donor disclosure. However, critics call it a dark money group and worry about a spoiler effect. The State Board of Elections, which is controlled by Democrats, made the decision today at an annual state conference of election officials in the Charlotte area.
Next at noon, Arizona is not allowing new home building permits to be approved right now. How the lack of groundwater is stopping new home builds.
Also, a recall alert for some chocolate chip cookie dough, the Nestle Toll House products you should stop using.
Plus, Duke Energy could soon charge more for your electricity, the reason behind a rate hike and how much more you could pay.
And coming up after the break, we'll share information about the third annual Intertribal Powwow. Welcome back this noon. We are about to experience a day of competition, dancing, music, vendors, all types of fun, and looking into showcasing the incredible legacy and culture of indigenous communities here in North Carolina today. And tribal citizens, native dancers from all across the state are invited to sign up for the dance competition as part of the Dix Park Intertribal Powwow. Got a couple of guests here joining us right now, and so happy to be joined. Trey Roberts right now, and you serve as the community engagement manager for Dix Park Conservancy, as well as part of the Halluwassapony tribe, yeah. Right? So welcome. Thank you so much. Why is this event so important to you?
I think it's important because Dix Park has a rich history on its own. And one of those things that used to be native hunting and gathering space, and we are creating a space at Dix Park that's going to be fun for the future, but we're also finding a way to tell that story and that history. And I think the powwow is an opportunity to showcase that history, educate folks, and to showcase our living history as well. So people know that we're still here and our culture is evolving as the time has evolved, and we still get together and celebrate here in North Carolina.
And Sandon, you are with the Waccamaw Suwan tribe of North Carolina, the Buckhead community, okay?
Yep.
I want to be specific about that. You're going to perform for us here in just a moment, but we understand you visited all throughout the U.S. and Canada, different communities, and what they have to offer as a powwow singer, an MC, for the past 30 years. You've been doing this for a long time. Why is this important for you?
I think to piggyback on what Trey was talking about, it's just visibility. You know, so many Native people here in the Raleigh-Durham area, we go largely invisible. We're among you. We're here. We work with you. We are part of your community. But just to have that visibility of our culture around the triangle, they'll let people know that we're still here and that we are part of a society here in the triangle.
And Trey, Dix Park, when is it happening?
Oh, it's going to happen on August 26th. It starts, grand entry is at 12 o'clock, so I would get there at 11:30, get your spot, and then it goes on until 7 o'clock.
You're asking for folks to RSVP as well?
Yeah, because we have an Eventbrite on the dixpark.org page.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So a decent place for them to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, Sandon, you're going to perform for us?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to hear some of that. Go ahead, just go ahead and grab it. Yeah. That's fine.
I thought somebody was grabbing it for me.
That's fine. No, we saw you going to break and giving us a little taste of it, but go ahead and give us a little more.
Oh,
free and open to the public. We have got to get some folks out there and see it. And this is not just dancing, as we just heard there, mm-hmm. some of your singing. It's a celebration of culture. What does that mean to you?
Again, it goes back to the visibility, showing people that we're still here, sharing our foods, sharing our arts and crafts, sharing our dance styles, our songs from all over Indian country that, you know, we've learned from our brothers and sisters in different parts of the country. So, yeah.
Can't wait for it. I know we've been waiting to get you guys on this noon program before the event, so can't wait for it to come off, and I wish you the most success for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trey, Sandon, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it so much. Michelle.
Absolutely amazing. Thanks, Jeff. The state of Arizona will not approve any more building permits for single-family homes that rely on wells in the Phoenix area due to dwindling supplies of groundwater. The new ban won't stop the 80,000 building permits for new homes that have already been approved. State officials that modeled Arizona's future water use predict that in the next 100 years, the Phoenix area will need over 1.5 trillion more gallons than it has. The ban also does not cover building projects that rely on river water or source their water from nearby businesses and farms. And in an effort to fight waste, receipts are no longer automatically printed at certain businesses in France. This measure also applies to bank card receipts, vouchers, and promotional or discount tickets. Now, in order to get a printed receipt, customers must ask the employee. Instead of paper receipts, customers can get an email or text message sent to them. The change has been criticized by some, who point out that for many households, sales slips are a tool for managing the family budget. All right, we got to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. Now tracking a level 2 risk for severe weather for most of us, Elizabeth.
That's right. We do have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. Isolated wind damage is what we're expecting later on today. And you can see from the triangle area north and east, this is where we have the level 2 risk. It mirrors very closely our level 2 risk for tomorrow. So we're going to see similar conditions for the next couple of days, similar heat issues as well. Let's walk you through futurecast again. You can see a little bit of cloud cover. We do have some clouds that have started to pop up already by 5 o'clock. A few isolated cells here and there. Some of these could produce some heavy rain, and one or two of those could produce some wind damage, especially from Raleigh north and east. It does appear to diminish right around sunset, but then we take it out a little farther, and you can see we continue to have at least a chance of some storms up until around midnight. Here's a look at our level 2 for Tuesday. It backs up just a little bit more. It includes all of Wake County, all of Johnston County, and parts of Durham County. Otherwise, basically the same outline that we're seeing today, and the rest of the viewing area under a level 1 and similar conditions. Isolated wind damage is possible. We're going to start off tomorrow morning with some sunshine. We'll end up with some clouds through the afternoon. Definitely more coverage for us tomorrow. Here's 2 o'clock and a line of thunderstorms starts to develop back to the west. It becomes a fairly broken line around 3 o'clock moving through, but almost redevelops there once it moves past Raleigh. And some of these cells look pretty big and likely to bring some heavy rain. As a matter of fact, we have a medium risk of some flooding for tomorrow because of the amount of moisture in the atmosphere. And of course, that potential for some damaging wind. Our cold front comes through late in the day, and you can see at 10 o'clock a redevelopment of some thunderstorms. That's likely to be right along the front. Of course, we have the heat advisory that's in effect for today, starting now all the way up through 8 p.m. It'll feel like 105 to 110 this afternoon. Right now it is 94 degrees with a dew point of 74. That makes it feel like 104. I know that's a lot of fours, but it really feels hot out there already. I don't see many people out here on the golf course, and it's really, now that it's noon and we have the heat advisory in place, you really want to avoid being outside unless you have to be. You can see some real pretty cumulus clouds there. A few of those may spark a few thunderstorms later today. 74 puts us way up into tropical, and we really don't usually see our dew points here any hotter than mid-70s. So again, it feels like 104 in the Triangle, 111 in Goldsboro, 109 Fayetteville, 106 in Clinton, 104 in South Hill, 108 in Southern Pines. And of course, we still haven't seen the hottest part of the day. Expecting a high in Raleigh of 97, 95 in Durham, and 98 in Fayetteville. So we're looking at 107 today. Tomorrow, a high of 95, feeling like 107. And then for Wednesday, 89, feeling like 91. That's still hot, but not nearly as hot as what we're going to see today and tomorrow. We're not too far from records today. 97, the forecast in Raleigh, and the previous record 100 set back in 1995, and in Fayetteville, 99, and the record was 100 set back in 1918. That's a long time ago. That one might fall today. So I meant to put the WRL weather alert day on today. Today and tomorrow, weather alert days. And then we do begin to cool off just a touch behind the front. It still stays warm, though. It looks like our temperatures may stay above normal at least through the weekend.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Explosions at a construction site are rattling northeast Raleigh homes and coating properties in dust. Tonight at 6, the videos homeowners captured of the blast and the issues 5 on Your Side found with this project.
But first, at 4, WRL Data Trackers investigates reports of hospital beds in our area filling up due to an influx in COVID-10 hospitalizations. What hospitals are seeing and a patient bed shortage? Also, high-dollar watches are in demand, but you might be surprised at who is driving this market.
And Earthlings may not be the only ones with questions about outer space. What NASA scientists believe this glowing red question mark might be.
Happening today, Durham County Sheriff Clarence Burkhead will give an update on an initiative for the county designed to reduce violent crime, and it is called Project Safe Neighborhoods. Sheriff Burkhead says the goal is to reduce violent crime, not by increasing arrests, but by addressing repeat offenders and giving them job opportunities. The initiative itself is not new to Durham, but it is new to the sheriff's office. Sheriff Burkhead will update the Board of County Commissioners on that program at their meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Nestle is recalling some of its Toll House chocolate chip cookie dough because some products may contain wood fragments. The recall involves break and bake bar products. The dough was produced April 24th and 25th of this year. No other Toll House products are included in the recall. Consumers should return the recalled products to stores for replacement or a full refund. You can learn more about this recall on WRL.com in the recall section.
Airfares are dropping as summer travel wraps up. The latest data from travel site Hopper says the average domestic round trip right now is $257. That is down 11% compared to last year. But experts say prices often drop off late in the summer. Other factors include the lowering price of jet fuel and increased airline capacities. Luxury watches are a $75 billion market. The demand is on the rise thanks to one generation of buyers. Younger consumers and sellers are using social media as a way to attract them. Surprisingly, the secondhand market is more expensive than retail. Some of those watches go for thousands of dollars more than their retail price, especially if they're rare. Pre-owned watches are often considered as investments.
Oh, you've been outside today. You already know it is steamy out there. And on top of that, you can couple a risk of severe storms with it. Triggered a WRL weather alert day for us. And Elizabeth Gardner is standing by with our updated forecast.
And we'll head back to Person County for an update on our top story. A father faces charges for killing a driver he says struck and killed his son on the road. A report is straight ahead. And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Get you back to that breaking news this noon out of Person County. In the last 15 minutes, the sheriff's office identified a man charged with shooting and killing a driver who hit and killed his son early this morning.
WRL's Monica Casey is live at the scene where deputies were looking for the gun. Monica, you have brand new information.
That's right. The Person County Sheriff's Office tells me they cannot search for this gun anymore over here in the heat today. They say they will be back out here, though, at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. We now know the name of the suspect in this case. Chad Woods is charged with second-degree murder. It was his son who was hit and killed by that driver around 6:30 this morning. The third person with Woods and his son was the boy's mother. The Sheriff's Office tells me she is not facing any charges at this time. For you, have you ever seen anything like this?
I've seen people struck by vehicles and people shot, but I've never seen them put together.
And we've also now learned the name of the driver who was shot and killed, Jeffrey McKay from Youngsville. Now, just to go over again what happened here this morning, this family was walking along this road. That driver called 911 after hitting the juvenile. The father in this case, Chad Woods, allegedly pulled out a gun and shot McKay. McKay and the son both died. Both were left here at the scene. The father took his car back to his own house, and that's where he was arrested. Michelle?
Just a tragic story we know we'll be following for the rest of the day. Monica Casey, live in Person County. Thanks, Monica.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we also have new information about a crash we first reported on over the weekend. This is video from the WRA breaking news tracker of that scene. Cary police identifying the woman who died in that wrong-way crash on US 1 in Cary around 3:30 Saturday morning. She is 49-year-old Charity Ragland. She died in the three-vehicle collision. Now, police say the collision happened when one of the drivers drove the wrong way in the southbound lanes of US 1. Investigators say alcohol is believed to be a factor. Now, the driver of a second vehicle remains in the hospital recovering. The driver of the third vehicle was treated and released. No word yet on which driver was driving the wrong way in the southbound lanes in US 1. This crash remains under investigation.
All right, thanks, Ken. It's a WRL weather alert day, and it already feels like it's the triple digits out there.
Yeah, no doubt. WRL's Elizabeth Gardner tells us how long this is going to stick around, as well as when the storms might begin to roll in, Elizabeth.
You know, today and tomorrow are going to feel very similar. They're both WRL weather alert days. They both feature a level one risk in our southwestern counties and a level two risk in our northeastern counties. We'll see the thunderstorms developing in the afternoon and lingering into the evening, and both days will be extremely dangerously hot. So we take a look at that severe threat. It's the potential for wind damage, isolated wind damage, and the potential for some flooding as well. Some heavy rain here possible, really both days, because there's so much moisture in the atmosphere. Here's tomorrow's area where the level two risk is, and they're very similar. The level two risk tomorrow does include Johnston County, and today it's mostly just parts of Wake County and then all counties north and east. So let's take a look at Futurecast and talk about when those storms might arrive. It's going to be fairly late in the day today. At 5 o'clock, a few isolated cells begin to pop up. You can see there's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The coverage is a little bit less in this newer run of the computer model. Earlier this morning, it looked like more coverage, but it does look like a few of these cells could produce some strong gusty, possibly damaging winds, and that it could continue overnight. We'll get a break in the morning with mostly clear to partly cloudy skies, and then cells will begin to develop in a line back to our west. So it's likely that we'll see more coverage. We'll have a cold front coming through tomorrow, so sometimes that does bring us a better chance for some strong storms, and you could definitely see some of those popping up there at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and then it looks like it starts to taper off, but the actual front itself may not come through until 9 or 10, and that may bring us some additional showers and thunderstorms. Of course, heat advisories in effect now through 8 o'clock, feeling like 105 to 110, and it's already feeling that hot in some places. It feels like 111 in Goldsboro, 108 in Clinton, 109 in Fayetteville, and 104 around the Triangle already here at lunchtime. So definitely hot conditions. We'll see highs and temperatures in the 90s all the way until around 9 o'clock this evening.
And with that extreme heat today, first responders in Wake and Durham counties are preparing for an increase in heat related calls. Triple digit heat index moving through our area. So if you're planning on spending time outdoors, it's important to stay hydrated. If you start to feel dizzy or sick, find a spot in the shade or get inside as quickly as possible. Wake EMS already experienced an increase in heat related calls over the weekend.
Whether it be for heat related emergencies or just other underlying medical problems that are made worse by the heat and humidity. As we respond to people who are overcome by the heat, by being out in it, we have to remember our people are out in that same heat.
And we have a list of those cooling centers in Wake County listed on our website.
Today, Wake County commissioners will hear a presentation on a potential $300 million renovation project for PNC Arena. A stakeholder committee is suggesting the use of Wake County hospitality taxes to fund the renovation. It would include the addition of viewing bars for fans, more food options, and infrastructure upgrades to attract more concerts and events. The money would be funneled to PNC in increments over 25 years. The Raleigh City Council and Wake County commissioners must approve the plan. And the city of Raleigh's social district is about to reach a larger audience. Sip and Stroll downtown allows people to drink beer, wine, or cocktails as they walk through a defined area of downtown Raleigh. It began in August of last year. In May, the city council voted to expand the boundaries to include more of the Warehouse District and portions of the Capitol District up to Hillsborough Street. The change will happen tomorrow. Sip and Stroll will also start an hour earlier with operating hours of 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
We're 2 weeks solid into this year's Clear the Shelter campaign, and hundreds of animals are still looking for homes. We're making it easy for people to donate online and shelters and rescues and possibly find the next furry member of your family. We have a full list of participating shelters, how to contact them, and what animals they have on WRL.com/shelters. Even if you can't adopt right now, you can still help homeless pets. Find our shelter wish list online, including items they need and volunteer opportunities. Just ahead, school is back in session, and keeping our kids healthy is key. We'll explain the many benefits of getting them involved in youth sports.
And making sure child social media influencers are compensated for their work. Which state passed the new law?
Some children are back in the classroom, others are getting ready. An important tool for keeping kids healthy is participation in youth sports. And it's not just because of physical activity. Children learn about teamwork, perseverance, learning how to win and lose. One way to get your kids involved in sports is to start young by just getting them active and outdoors.
We live in a society where people want to stay inside and stare at screens, but get outside, go for a bike ride as a family, go for a run, kick the ball around the yard, throw the ball around the yard, play tag. Just get them moving and seeing what they kind of like to do.
Pediatricians also say parents should not make their children focus on just one individual sport. Some say it's best to have a kid in the elementary school-aged years participate in multiple sports to see what they gravitate to.
Yoga and certain exercises can help improve asthma symptoms. Researchers looked at how five types of exercise affected more than 2,100 adults with asthma. Typically, exercise has been found to make asthma worse and trigger attacks, but researchers found that breathing training combined with aerobic training and yoga helped improve lung function in participants. This discovery could help doctors prescribe better treatments for patients to manage their asthma. Illinois has become the first state in the nation to try to ensure child social media influencers are compensated for their work. Many states already require parents to set aside earnings for child entertainers who perform in more traditional settings like movies and television. Under the law, child influencers under the age of 16 will be entitled to a percentage of earnings based on how often they appear on video blogs or online content. They can sue if their earnings aren't set aside for them. The new law will go into effect next July.
Is the universe trying to ask us something? We'll tell you what scientists think this newest image really is from the Webb Telescope.
And dancing flash mobs serve as great entertainment, but this kind of flash mob is not what managers welcome. How much stolen merchandise police think these thieves made off with?
Happening now in the WREL Live Center. Six law enforcement officers from Mississippi plead guilty today to torturing two black men. Happened back in January. This is new video into a newsroom of the five Rankin County deputies and the Richland police officer appearing in court. Now, prosecutors say the former law enforcement officers entered a home back in January, handcuffed two black men, and tortured them for about 90 minutes that included stun guns. One of the men was also shot in the mouth. He is still having trouble talking today. All six recently pleaded guilty in connection to a federal civil rights case.
Five people are dead, three are injured, and three homes are destroyed after an explosion in a house outside Pittsburgh. Ring doorbell video from a few doors down captured the moments of that blast. Authorities say the explosion happened in one home, then the flames from the blast destroyed two others. Investigators say it could take years to figure out what caused the explosion because of the amount of forensic testing that needs to happen. The gas service provider in the area says gas systems were operating as designed at the time.
Crews in Texas are searching for a missing teenager after a serious boat crash on Lake Austin last night. Six other people were injured in the crash. They say a boat went over the wake of another boat and lost control, ran aground, and ejected at least one person. Officials say two other people suffered serious injuries. Two more were taken to the hospital with potentially serious injuries, and two others refused to go to a hospital. It's unclear how fast the boat was going, and we don't know if the people on board were wearing life jackets. Dramatic video here from an air show in Michigan as two pilots ejected to safety moments before their fighter jet crashed. A plane went down in the parking lot of an apartment complex about 30 miles west of Detroit. Amazingly, no one on the ground was hurt. Event organizers stopped the air show after the crash. Federal investigators are looking through that wreckage to figure out what happened.
Shocking video capturing a mob-style smash-and-grab robbery at a California mall inside as police now search for the 20 to 50 people. The group of masked thieves, all wearing black, smashed display cases, scooped up armloads of luxury high-end bags and expensive clothing. Officers estimate that the goods are worth up to about $100,000. At one point, a security guard who tried to intervene was attacked with a chemical spray of some kind. It's unclear what that person's condition is at this time. They got away in multiple vehicles before police arrived. Some stunning new images from the James Webb Space Telescope reveal a cosmic phenomenon. Look at this. The image from deep space shows a blob of light that looks something very familiar to what we call a question mark. Scientists speculate that it's likely a pair of galaxies that have merged together and by coincidence forms what appears to be a question mark. No doubt the image is prompting more questions than answers in a galaxy that is far, far away. That looks fake. That doesn't even look real.
It's the Webb Telescope. It's an amazing product, I tell you. Yeah. What we earthlings don't know. We do know it's hot down here. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with the temperatures today. Dangerous heat.
Yes, and we're looking at lots of sunshine out there, and that heat just continues to build as we head through the afternoon. A live look at Goldsboro, Fayetteville, where our newsroom is, Chapel Hill. You can see a lot of big puffy cumulus clouds there from Top of the Hill Restaurant, and same story here in Apex. So some of these are going to develop into some thunderstorms later today. Again, we do have that level 2 risk for severe storms from Wilson County to Wake County, northward and eastward. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat later this afternoon. And then it's mainly the same shape for tomorrow, where we have that level 2 risk and the same threats as well. The potential for some isolated wind damage, maybe a little better chance of some flooding tomorrow. Here's a look at what's happening. We do have this stationary almost boundary here that's likely to help to produce some of those thunderstorms for today. And then this cold front back to the west. You can see a line of storms that went racing toward the mountains. That's likely to fizzle out a little bit, but it's this front back here that's crossing the Mississippi that arrives here tomorrow to bring us that level 2 risk for severe storm. So we'll go through both days again this afternoon, starting at around 5 o'clock. You can see a few cells that pop up across our area. Some of those are likely to produce some heavy rain and some blustery wind. Maybe one or two of those will produce winds strong enough to do some damage. And then that fizzles out. We start seeing some more sunshine tomorrow and then another round of thunderstorms. This one a little bit earlier, around 2 or 3 o'clock, we'll likely see some development of some of those storms. These may be a little bit more intense than what we're looking at today with some heavier rain and a little better chance of some wind damage. It looks like it keeps going. We see a little bit of a break there around dinner time. And then later in the evening, as the cold front gets closer to us, we see more storms developing. Here's a look at our flooding potential for tomorrow. Again, both today and tomorrow are WRL weather alert days. But tomorrow, we're under a medium risk for flooding for most of the viewing area. So it would be isolated, but some of those cells set up in one spot, they could dump some heavy rain very quickly. So 40% chance today, 60 Tuesday. We could still see a few pop-up storms. storms on Wednesday and Thursday as well. Back to our heat advisory. It's going to feel like 105 to 110. It already feels like 105 to 110 for most of us right now. Of course, as we head through the afternoon, it's likely to feel like 107 around the triangle. And even at 6 o'clock, it could still feel like 105. So just take it easy out there. Again, tomorrow, same story, 95 for the high, likely to feel like 107 to 108. Wednesday, a little bit of a break. Still going to be hot, near 90 Wednesday, high of 89, but feeling like 91. We're just going to be able to clear some of this moist air out of the atmosphere. Take a look at our tropical outlook. Couple of systems that are coming off the coast of Africa with a 20 to 30% chance, two of those there. Keeping our eye on those. Again, not a huge chance, but as those travel across the Atlantic, we'll continue to watch those. Today and tomorrow, of course, we're looking at WRL weather alert days for that chance of storms.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks for that. We're going to take it right now. We have video from Sky 5. This is in Durham right now, and Sky 5 is above this scene. Police are there with one person face down on the ground right there. We just witnessed moments ago a car rolling through this apartment complex. Six people jumped out of the car. Police were there moments after that, chasing them into the woods and around that apartment complex. We're just going to try to get new information from this and exactly what is happening on that scene right there, because we've just seen the pictures and we don't have any other information to give you right now. But police all around that scene right there in Durham. WRL live from Sky 5. I want to take you back to that breaking news from WRL Sky 5 above what you see there, a black SUV surrounded by Durham police cruisers right there. This was off of Old Oxford Road, a chase. This car stopped in the apartment complex, Independence Park Apartments. That is off of William Penn Plaza. It started on Old Oxford Road right in that area. Six people jumped out of that black SUV. We watched it live. They ran off into the woods and throughout parts of that apartment complex right there, jumped and ran. We saw one person was apprehended there. He was caught, put face down, and arrested there on the spot. So we are following this breaking news out of Durham this noon, and we'll get you more details and information, WRL.com, as we follow this throughout the day. And we wrap things up with a look at a few of the other headlines we are following for you today, staying on top of the breaking news in the last 30 minutes out of Person County. Sheriff's office has identified a man charged with shooting and killing a driver who hit and killed his son early this morning. Investigators say Chad Woods was walking with his wife and son when his son was hit and killed by a truck. Woods is accused of shooting and killing the driver who stopped. He's charged with second-degree murder.
And search and rescue efforts will get going again soon in Maui. Authorities say 96 people have died so far. More than 2,200 homes and businesses are destroyed. Hawaii's governor is expected to hold a news conference at 3:30 our time to give an update on what's next. Officials say this is now the deadliest U.S. wildfire in over 100 years.
The Coast Guard has found divers who were reported missing off the North Carolina coast. They went diving yesterday and never resurfaced. The four men were spotted 12:45 this morning by a strobe light about 46 miles southeast of Cape Fear. Coast Guard brought them back to land safely and uninjured this morning.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Love Mutt's Rescue. Meet Tack. He's a sweet red-bone coonhound or Vizsla mix who loves every dog he meets. He's 41 pounds. He's almost 9 months old. He's a house dog and is crate trained. Tack would do best with a fenced yard and another dog to play with. He's still shy, so it may take a while to warm up, but he'll be a very loyal companion. For more information and to apply to adopt or donate, you can visit lovemuttsrescue.org. And NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL. Your next local news update will be in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news just like that Durham police chase of a black SUV into this neighborhood in Durham. It is the Independence Park Apartments. We're following this breaking news for you as that SUV, six people inside of it, jumped and ran off into the woods and throughout that apartment complex. Off Old Oxford Road is where that chase started. William Penn Plaza, you might want to avoid that area if you're headed through there in Durham this afternoon. We'll have much more on this coming up on our news at 4. You can get breaking news updates anytime on WRL's news app.
Have a great day.
We'll be right back.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.